Welcome to Pazzo's Podcast, episode number 4. That's right. I need Kevin to remind me there because I'm a few beers in. But we're having a good time here at Pazzo's, enjoying ourselves. We've sampled quite a few beers tonight, as their selection is quite varied. And we've been talking quite a bit about, you know, St. Patrick's Day. But we're done with that now because we decided that St. Patrick's Day sucks. No offense to the Irish. Go eat your potatoes. Whatever. But we've decided that that's the case, right? Right, guys?
That's
is that
right,
the general consensus?
Right. We can keep our corned beef. We can keep that year round.
Yeah, we'll
though.
Take
that's
that.
That's fine.
Well, unless it's on a Reuben, how often do you really want corned beef anyway?
I would just rather have a traditional brisket, to be honest with you. Smoke it properly, and I enjoy
right.
that.
I'd rather have barbecue.
That's right.
I'm a big fan of brisket myself. But guys, it's episode 4. Somehow made it here. We're still doing it. We're still going strong.
They've not kicked us out yet.
Yeah, guess what? People actually responded to our first 2 episodes.
Nice.
Really? Somebody listened?
Yeah, people listened. We had 100 plays per episode.
I was going to say, let me buy that guy a beer, but I'm not sure I can buy that much.
Well, I think that he was probably just hitting repeat over and over and over again.
I will buy him one beer.
Yeah, that's right. So that's all that counts. By the way, everyone, we are, if you haven't found us yet, we are on iTunes and we are on Google Play. So if you're still listening through the website, you can go to your choice of Google Play or iTunes. I know those people usually fight about it, and Androids and Apples and all that stuff. So if you're one of those guys, you can get us. You can get us and subscribe to us. We would love your subscription. It would be greatly appreciated. But people responded to our questions about IPAs and pale ales.
Great.
Let's hear it.
So, all right. We got 2 IPAs and 1 pale ale. Chris from Frankfurt says that the Deschutes Fresh Squeezed. That's what he says, the IPA that he likes.
I love that beer. One thing I love about that beer is up front, in other words, in the nose, the initial taste, so tropical, so fruity, so floral. It's really, really nice. My criticism of that beer, it doesn't finish dry enough. It doesn't finish bitter enough. They make another beer, Deschutes does, called Pine Drops, that doesn't have that floral, fruity character up front, but it has the dryness and the bitterness in the finish that I really enjoy. So if they could be a match make and blend those 2 together, they'd make Kevin Patterson pretty happy.
Well, hopefully Deschutes is listening right now. All right, up next, Rich from Lexington. He likes the West 6 Hell or Heaven, which just actually had their release a few days ago. I went down there and picked up a few cans. I enjoy that beer quite a bit myself.
Dangerously drinkable. That beer is very strong in alcohol, but the alcohol tucks so nicely behind those really tropical, floral, citrusy hops that you don't see the alcohol coming until you get into like 3 or 4 and you're falling off the bar stool and
exactly.
questioning why.
It was a huge seller for us last year on our patio. We did cans, and that was one of the ones that everybody tended to get to because it is sneaky. It's got that high alcohol percentage, but it's so drinkable.
You know, one of my favorite things about that beer is I love to go backpacking quite a bit. I like to go to the Gorge and do things like that. I know you're not supposed to, bring alcoholic beverages in with you, but I occasionally will sneak a few in with me.
Absolutely.
Hopefully I'm not incriminating myself
sure
right now.
You're not the first.
But, I do pick up everything. So let's go ahead with that up front. I make sure that I bring a trash bag and I take everything with me. The best thing about that beer is you can take a 4-pack in and you're set for 2 days. You're good.
You don't need much else.
Yeah, it'll be
that
fun.
Guy's it flirts with 10% alcohol, and you don't see it coming. It's fantastic.
No. And it's so great and so refreshing after a long hike, I will say that. I mean, I've had it a few times after going about 3 or 4 miles in and setting up camp and stuff. Nothing like just cracking open one of those for sure. Now, we got Derek from Lexington. He likes Rheingast Mosaic Pale Ale.
Mosaic great. Is one of the sexiest hops going right now. It's mirrored after some of the hops from down under, even though it's grown in the Pacific Northwest. It has a lot of stone fruit characteristic. It has a lot of herbal characteristic. But it has that fruity floral characteristic that's really kind of nice, too. It really plays every point on the tongue. The earliness for sweetness, the finish for bitterness, and everywhere in between. It picks up some tart notes. It picks up some salty notes even. And that's the reason why they call it Mosaic, because it basically does everything.
It's a blending.
And so what Rheingast has decided to do is put together a pale ale that celebrates that hop and that hop only. We call those SMASH beers. SMASH is an acronym. It stands for single malt and single hop. So using one kind of malt, which is basically 2-row pale malt, and they're also using one kind of hop, in this case, Mosaic. I love those kind of beers because it celebrates that hop in all its glory. if you start to use 3, 4, 5 different kind of hops, no one can discern what kind of hop character you're getting from each variety. But when you use one single hop variety like that, then you really get to know what that hop gives you in all its glory, and it's a fantastic beer for that.
I do like some of those beers, though, where they mix the hops. The Terrapin Hopsecutioner, that's got 6 or 8 different hops in it, and each one is distinguishable. It's not muddy, but you do get a depth of flavor with multiple different hops that I think you don't get from a single hop beer. But I think both of them have their beauties, because like you were saying, with a single hop beer, it really presents the character of that hop. And if you don't know, you know, it's like we were talking about in one of our past episodes, if you don't know what kind of hops that you like, those are the perfect beers to find out. On the other hand, if you do like hops and you want something that's a little different, some of those ones with multiple hops can give you that depth of flavor that, you know, you're pulling out citric notes, you're pulling out tropical fruit notes, and then all of a sudden you're getting this resinous piney flavor and, you know, a little dankness in there too. So yeah.
When you use single source hops, most of the time hops, they celebrate one type of characteristic. So you get a floral or you get a bitter, but you may not get both. When you use mosaic hops, the Wayne Ryan guy said, that's the kind of hop that a single source beer like this really, really needs and really what can celebrate well. Most of the time, that's the reason why brewers like to use a couple different variety of hops, so they can hit the floral stuff, they can hit the bitter stuff, they can hit all the fruity stuff in between. So you got a lot of that going for Rheingeist and that mosaic hop. And that's a very hard hop to get a hold of because it's so popular for those reasons. Stone fruit, tropical pineapple, citrusy grapefruit, it's got it all.
You know, it's March now, so we've already talked about St. Paddy's Day. We've gotten that behind us. Let's talk about tournament time. What are the beers that you guys prefer during tournament time that go well with a basketball game, that go well with a group of people when you're enjoying and taking in the Cats hopefully winning?
So yeah. You got to go with session beers, something that's not too heavy.
You do.
You know,
I agree.
When you're going to be trying to pay attention to something for 3 or 4 hours, you know, or even all day if you're watching multiple games, then, you know, I think you've got to try something that's, you know, lower than 5%, either some of the session IPAs. This time of year, I like, you know, wild ales and Hefeweizens and things like that, just crisp, because it's like, you know, I drink so many stouts and heavy beers over the winter, and then finally, you know, the weather, you know, gets a little nicer, and it makes me have that fiending for some of those crisp, clean, nice beers.
And that's it. There's a couple reasons. He mentioned the session IPAs, and that's it. A session IPA is designed after the English session pub ales. Those become popular about 250 years ago when the pubs first came into existence, and all of a sudden everybody started gathering their news and their social gathering and basically gossip of the day from the pubs. And the pubs, so they would basically tax beer based on the percentage of alcohol back then. So if it was more alcoholic, they would charge more. But the people went to the pubs were working class, and so they would basically go to the pubs and drink these low-alcohol beers. They loved that because they could do multiple of these beers. In other words, they could try 4, 5, 6 in a session, and they become known as session ales. That term was largely lost on the craft beer scene up until the IPA became really, really strong. Okay, now our American IPA started getting up 7, 8, 9, 10% alcohol if you went into imperial strength. And so there started being a little bit of reaction to that where everybody's wanting, oh, I want all that hop flavor. I want all that dryness. I want all that drinkability. But I don't want to get too taxed too soon, so I want this beer not at 7 or 8%. Now I want it at 4, 4.5%. So you can drink multiple of them in a sitting, like a basketball game or 8 basketball games. You can enjoy multiple of these. Those are fantastic beers for chicken wings, for cheeseburgers. They're a very versatile beer whenever it comes to all these pub fare foods that you wouldn't drink whenever you're watching the game. So I think the session IPA wins. But Jason's right. You know, you got the sour ales that's really coming into vogue, and those are really, really mild in alcohol too, but give you a full breath of flavor. Very acidic flavor, very fruity flavors. But they're very refreshing too, so you can actually drink them very quickly without that kind of risk of inebriation prematurely.
I think some of the ones that this time of year that I like the best, I just had a Vitakirke Wild. It's Vitakirke is a Belgian wit beer that they make there, and this is one that's been fermented with wild yeast, so it's got just the slightest bit of tanginess, that sour flavor that you get from sour beers, but it's more like a wit beer than it is that. You know, it's just that little perfect balance of just slight tang and that nice, you know, wit bready character that you get from that. So
yeah, up until here recently, we had you know, if you want to balance malt, you had to do it with bitterness, in other words, hops. But we kind of learned that acidity plays a very big role. That's nothing new to Belgian brewers, particularly around Brussels, who've been brewing sour ales for a very long time. But if there is any residual sweetness left in a beer, then we can actually balance that out with acidity, too. We don't have to rely on bitterness. So if you want to be a craft beer drinker and if you don't like hops, don't worry. There's a beer out there for you. There's a lot of sour ales, and they keep getting more popular every year.
Yeah, and there's every level of acidity. I mean, I've had some really lip-puckering beers, and then I've also had some that just have that tinge that make it, you know, perfect to give you that just a little bit to cut through fat if you're eating something that's got like a fatty characteristic to it.
So, guys, we're talking about the time of year. We've already talked about March Madness. Again, St. Paddy's Day, even though we're forgetting it. It's Lent right now. That's a big one.
Lent.
What have you guys got for that?
When you think about Lent, you really think about that fasting time between Mardi Gras and Easter. And usually that's whenever some people say they're going to give up something. I grew up Pentecostal. I gave up stuff from the time I was 0 years old to the time that I was about 23 years old. So I'm done giving up stuff. So I'm not giving up anything. But you know what? Traditionally, the Germans were the ones that kind of really got on the wagon early about giving something up. What they would decide to give up, or some of the monks in the monasteries, they would give up food. Could you imagine giving up food for 40 days, 40 nights, whatever it takes to get through Lent? I couldn't.
Sounds like a
no,
beer.
I cannot.
No. Yeah, as he's pointing at his belly. I agree. I like food too much. But you know what? These monks, they were so devout at their craft that when they moved from northern Germany to southern Germany, they decided that we're not going to eat anything, but we're going to have to get nutrition from somewhere. Where are we going to get it from? So they hired a very well-known brewery in Germany and Austria to develop a beer with a calorie-rich character and an intake that can actually sustain them. Well, he developed this thing called a Doppelbock. He used that Bock beer from northern Germany that they were very used to drinking in the monks' worlds, and he developed a stronger one. Very, very sweet, very, very malty, low in hops, depth of complexity, depth of characters. It had a lot of bready toasted notes. It was a fantastic beer. They decided that, okay, we're going to go with this beer for this Lent season, try it out. And guess what? During that Lent season, no monks died. Okay, so that was really awesome. But you can imagine,
that's a good thing.
For 40 days, nobody's eating, and everybody's drinking this Doppelbock, which probably wasn't as strong as today's Doppelbock, but it probably was 5 or 6% alcohol. Can you imagine a lot of these drunk-ass monks bouncing around the walls of the monastery? You know, I mean,
well,
had to be,
and they haven't ate.
Exactly. Had to be one hell of a party. That's enough to make me want to go monk world, honestly.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
But anyhow, no monks died, so they called that beer the Savior beer. Okay, and so the German term for Savior is Salvator. Okay, and so once that brewery left the monastery, become more secular, it created its own brewery. So they called it, and they named it after the St. Paul Cathedral Monastery that was developed in Munich area in southern Germany. And so they become the Paulaner Brewery, and that Salvator beer can still be found today in certain brewing circles. So now all the beers that are considered Doppelbocks, a lot of breweries will decide to end their beer in the same way, that same suffix, the A-T-O-R, the A-T-O-R. So Abita has an alligator, Augustiner has a Maximator, so everything's an A-T-O-R to pay homage to that first Savior beer.
See, I always feel like I learn something when I'm with you guys.
Celebratory?
Yeah, I just make it up as I go.
I wouldn't know. So, hey, we've got some Girl Scout cookies in front of us. What would go good with Girl Scout cookies? I know everybody's selling them right now. We were talking about when we were kids, they were like, what, $3, $2?
Yeah,
now $2. They're $5 a box.
I'd say it's
a monopoly out there, man.
It's a gamut. It's hard to get hands on. But, I mean, I've been trying some stuff today. Surprisingly, I had these Caramel Delights, and I had them with the feature beer for Pauses today, which is a Braxton, the Haven, which is a Hefeweizen. Love those vanilla notes, those bubblegum notes in the beer. That really bounces off that caramel and honey-like characteristic and that slight pastry character that the Caramel Delights have anyhow. I thought that was fantastic.
I think the Thin Mints are really going to be the hardest one to pair.
That was tough. I'm drinking that with Flanders Red right now at the Monk's Cafe. And even though I love the cherry chocolate, how they balance each other, you got the acidity and the mint that does something kind of nice together, but they kind of clash a little bit too, so I'm not sure how I feel about that. But it is beer, and it is cookie, so of course I'm going to pair them together regardless of how well it goes.
Well, we've got all spring to figure it out, guys.
We do.
I think most of the other ones, it's going to be easy. Any kind of nice, sweet milk stout, anything like that is going to go good with them.
Yeah, for instance, the s'mores, I had the Yaskippi from Blue Stallion Brewing Company. Neither of them was chocolate on chocolate, and you think that's going to be just palate overload because it's too much of one thing coupled with too much of the other thing. You have those toasted, bitter notes of the beer that really rounds out that sweetness of the cookie particularly well.
Well, guys, we've come to the end of yet another Pazzo's podcast.
We should do it for an hour.
I think we should. We should step it up.
Question for next one. How about what are your favorite grass cutters?
Grass cutters. That's a good one. That's a good one because it's starting to be that season, guys. I mean, if
sour
you look
beers.
Outside,
let's do it.
Let's do it. All right, guys. Pazzo's podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And if you want to write us, it's pazzospodcast@gmail.com. We're on Twitter. We are on Instagram. You can find us anywhere pretty much, and we would appreciate it. Thank you guys so much for listening. It's Pazzo's podcast.